The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com. And by All Star Vacation Homes, with locations in Kissimmee and Orlando. All Star Vacation Homes offers you alternatives for your Disney vacation with beautiful and affordable homes, condos, and townhomes near Walt Disney World. Hospitality has a new home, and its name is All Star Vacation Homes. Visit them at allstarvacationhomes.com.
Hey, this is Phil Taylor from Claremont, Florida, and I listen to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 240 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from WDW Today and TouringPlans.com, and with me on the show is Michelle Scribner-McLean. Michelle, we are, actually, we're in Walt Disney World, right? Yes, we are.
Right now?
Well, if you're listening <laughs> to this podcast, yes.
I wish I was in Walt Disney World because right now I have snow and ice outside, but no, I'm not there yet. Not there yet, but, you know, according to the weather, I should pack for cold and wet and wind and hot, and so it's going to be quite the suitcase.
Yeah, we left New Hampshire yesterday, and I believe it was 7 below, so.
Oh, really? Did
we? Yeah, we did.
All right, so I have a long list of people for a shout-out. People are really getting ready for their training, and I wanted to acknowledge a whole bunch of people who mentioned what they were doing on our Facebook page. And that is Taryn Dwyer. She's recovering from surgery and she's getting ready for Dopey. Krista Brands, Amy Sipe, Christy Green, Helen Dunn, our buddy. She said she was running 5 miles and then ran off the trail to get Starbucks. That's my girl. Heather Patton Graham, Jenny Hodges, Melissa Shirk, Kim Sharoff, and Tim Sullivan. So shout outs to all those people who are doing all sorts of different training. Yay!
Yay! Well, so when you go down to Walt Disney World and you're not running, but you have friends or relatives running, you want to give them support. You want to cheer them on. And so there are some things that you really need to know. And as always, when we have something that we want to tell our listeners, we turn to the experts. And there may be very few of you who realize that the best cheering experts are in the great state of Illinois. So we have...
I think there's some sort of a special academy, isn't there? You have to get chosen when you're young.
Yeah.
It's kind of like an owl comes and delivers something to your house.
And then there's a tattoo that's put on your heel.
Yes. Yeah.
So we made sure that we checked the heels of our guests for this. So joining us today to talk about cheering at the Walt Disney World Marathon Weekend first, Laura Smith-Ozzo. Hello, Laura.
Hi, Mike. Hi, Michelle.
Thank you for coming on.
I'm honored.
And of course,
she sounds moved. I can't find the word. Honored. Okay.
And coming back again, the first name that comes to mind when you talk about cheering expertise, not just for Walt Disney World, but around the country, is our friend Dave Allen. Welcome back, David.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me back on.
I'll tell you, the pleasure is ours because you bring the expertise that all of our listeners are really going to appreciate. So, Michelle, where would you like to start?
Well, I would love to hear Laura talk about how she prepares because she does a lot of elaborate things for preparation. I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, Laura maybe has more gear and Dave has a different approach where he's running from place to place. Would you guys agree with that?
Absolutely.
All right. So why don't we ask the same question of both of you? So Laura, when you're getting ready to prepare to cheer, what do you do for a Disney race?
I generally, when I go down to Walt Disney World Marathon Weekend, I'm generally cheering for my whole team. So I'm not just chasing one runner, like a family member. I'm there from what, as I say, from wheelchair to sweeper bus in one location where everybody on my team, you know, knows where to look for me. And with that, I can, as you said, bring more stuff along. I try to think of anything that my runners might need that they can't carry with them. So I have a variety of snacks. I'm known for my snacks. I usually bring Coke, Diet Coke, Pixie Sticks, Twizzlers. Especially when it's hot, the runners like a salty snack, like pretzels. I know a couple years back, little mini donuts were really appreciated. Basically anything solid that's not goo, because people are usually gooed out.
That's awesome. So it sounds like while we're getting our goo and water and everything ready, you have bags and bags of other things that you're bringing.
That's right. Oranges are a big thing. So usually the night before the half and the full, while everybody's sleeping, I'm slicing oranges up into individual bags so that the runners can either, you know, grab and go and take them with them. I have a multiple, many signs that I usually bring out for what I call the mile 20.5 spectacular. Maybe some of the Mickey Mile podcasters have actually seen me but didn't know who I was. But I, for the last 3 years, have been outside of Wide World of Sports on Osceola Parkway at mile 20.5, just being a crazy fool.
Yeah, it's good. We can talk a little bit later about what you do there, but it's getting to the point now where I'm in the car and I go by there, I say, "That's where Larry is." Dave, well, why don't you tell everybody about the cheering that you do in general and what your goal and Holly's goal is, and then focus on how you get ready for Walt Disney World cheering.
Sure. In general, our goals are to really see our runners as many times as we can on a marathon course. Holly is doing a marathon in every state, so she's a little more than halfway beyond on that goal. So last year we went to 8 different marathons, one of them being Walt Disney World, and I take all my electronics, my cameras, my GoPros, DSLRs, everything you can think of, stuff in a backpack, and try to follow the course along as best I can. My record is seeing her 15 times during a marathon.
Wow. Oh my gosh. Do you record your mileage?
No, I don't. Oh. I have no idea what I do.
Oh, interesting. That's interesting. And along the way, you imbibe and grab
sometimes
different things to drink.
You can find a beer at 8 in the morning, yes. that does happen.
That's great. So your prep is mostly charging things up and really planning a course, a way that you can get from one place quickly to another, avoiding road closings and things like that.
Exactly, yeah. The night before, once we get into a city, I get a little more of the feel for it. I sit there the night before, kind of plot out where I'm going to be. And the most important tip is to work out with your runner where you're going to be so they know where to find you. So I tell Holly what my plans are, and I pack up any supplies that she needs along the way, and off I go the next morning.
Dave, in keeping on the point about so Holly knows where you are, do you wear anything special so that she will recognize you, very easily?
Typically very bright orange. I have an orange sweatshirt that I got from Target that is as bright as anything. So that's my one go-to item. If we're at a colder marathon or something, my jackets tend to be boring navy blue or black. So it gets a little harder. But once again, we've kind of worked out where I'll be. And when I see her on the course, I give her a heads up like, hey, I'll see you at the next 2 miles, or I'll be at mile marker 15. So she has a general idea every step of the way where I'll be.
Cool. So, Lara, I know when you're out there, you have a very special cheering device that you use. And I wanted to ask if you could tell people what that is and how you put it together.
Well, that's my semi-world famous thingamajig. And I created it in response to cheering for the Chicago Marathon. And as some people know, even at Walt Disney World, there's several areas where there's just a massive amount of people cheering. For example, like at the Ticket and Transportation Center. And so I decided that I needed to go up in order for my runners to be able to find where I am. And basically, I went to Home Depot and I got myself a 10-foot pole out of PVC piping. I had them cut it down until about 2 foot, 2.5 foot sections, and I got connectors. So it breaks down and all fits in a bag. But then when I'm at my cheer spot, I put this long, tall pole up, and I can hang signs off of it so that people can see me, whether I'm in a crowded area or out in the middle of nowhere.
That's neat. So just to follow up, I know that you've seen lots of different running signs. I was saying that all four of us have done distance races. So there's some signs that are good to see and funny, and others signs and things that you say to runners that they don't want to hear. Laura, can you tell us what some of the best signs are?
Well, I can tell you what signs that people have stopped to take a picture of for me, of mine. My favorite sign, which I usually put out about halfway through the run, meaning half the runners have already gone by, is the last 100 impress me more than the first 100.
Oh, that's nice. That's great. So you switch out your signs.
I do.
Oh, wow.
I do. I have several signs. They're two-sided. I can throw them up on the thingamajig, you know, and flip them over. Like, I always like to remind people that it's your race, your pace.
That's great.
Dig deep and do it.
That's great.
A lot of marathoners have seen the sign, worst parade ever.
Right, right.
I have a sign that says best parade
ever. Awesome.
That's good. What about you, Dave? Do you have any favorites that you've seen or noticed in any of these races?
Not really. you know, pretty much when I go place to place, I don't notice the signs as much. I think... you know, Laura does it best. You know, you can't beat what she puts out there, and she does an excellent job at making everyone feel good, whatever mileage they're at that point. So, you know, Laura, I bow down to her.
So before we get to the specifics of the races for this weekend, I wanted to know from all of us here, what are the things that you never want to say to a runner? What are the things that runners don't want to hear?
You're almost there.
Oh, yes.
At mile one.
That is so correct. I mean, that's the first thing. I don't want to hear that, especially from people who you look at and you think, have you ever run a race? You know, so you don't want to hear that. You do want to hear good job, although that gets old really fast. I think that there have been some volunteers who have said, and that's what you are, Laura, you're like an unofficial volunteer. They would say, congratulations, or, you know, you're doing well, or you're looking good. I think that those words really, ring true. I know a lot of runners though, Michelle, they really like to hear the cowbells. And I remember cheering on for the marathon last year, and a couple of runners would come by and say, keep ringing those cowbells, keep ringing those cowbells. I don't know what it is about those cowbells, but they love them.
I can't take those things.
Well, yeah, I think maybe if you're running by, but I don't know if you're actually using the cowbell. If after a few minutes you'd go insane.
And when I'm out there filming, that's all the mic picks up is the cowbell.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, yeah. And I do have a cowbell tip, by the way.
Okay.
you know, because if you're out there ringing a cowbell for 7 hours, it really does take a toll on your hand. So getting some sort of thick leather strap or cord to go through it so that you're not actually holding on to the cowbell itself will really help save your hand.
That's great. So, Dave, before we move on, is there anything that you, any advice of things that you would never say to a runner or that's not particularly helpful?
I probably wouldn't comment on if their pace decreased along the way or anything else from what you're tracking. But, you know, probably one of the more positives is anytime I do see Holly or my runners, I do automatically go to how you doing, what do you need?
Oh, that's great. You
know, so it's probably more not a what not to say, but just check on their mental and physical state as soon as you can to see how you need to adapt along the course too to help them out.
I second that. What do you need? How can I help you? This is what I have.
Exactly. And that's, you know, that's all part of the, what goes into cheering for everyone, your friends, your family. And all this is leading up to the four races that are
part of the Walt Disney World Marathon Weekend. Why don't we just jump right into them? On the 5K, it's 3.1 miles. It's basically through World Showcase in Epcot, and there are very few places to set up and cheer. So let's start with Dave. Dave, how do you see the 5K as far as where you can go and how you can cheer?
Yeah, I really see it as there's two places you can go, the start and the finish. And that's really your only option, because there's about a mile of Epcot parking lot, and then it's all through Epcot, which is off limits to spectators. And the runners come out, and you can see them by about mile 3 up until the finish line. So really, it's getting to the start, watching from there, and then making your way over to the finish line area in the bleachers.
That's right. Now, Laura, have you cheered during the 5K?
Yes, I did, and I have to say, where I went, I thought I was going to be brilliant, but it wasn't very good. I was as you walk from the Beach Club area in heading towards the International Gateway, I thought, oh well, that would be a great place. But the trouble is they don't let you pass this big gate, which in a sense wouldn't be a problem for me because I have my giant thingamajig. But most of the race takes place in the dark. So it's right. Very hard to, you know, you're 30 or 40 feet away from the runners. So I would not recommend going towards the International Gateway to cheer. And I agree with what Dave says. You can see him at the beginning and at the end.
And in the past, usually the runners would be coming through the corrals and getting to the start, and the folks who were supporting them would be on the right side of the corrals. I am assuming that that's the same for this year, but there have been some changes for the 5 and the 10K, so we'll see when we get to the 5K this year how things are. And, of course, I think, is for my own likings, I think that the finish is the best area to cheer for the 5Ks. There have been people on Team Allia's who had dreams of doing the 5K as their very first race, and there were some very tender and special moments of seeing people doing it for the first time and crossing the finish line, and lots of people there. I know last year a lot of us were there for the very last person, and it was just...
Who we didn't know.
We didn't know. And I'm sure that, you know, she'll always remember that. And so I think, personally, the 5K finish is the best area. Michelle?
I would agree.
I agree with that, too, because that was my first race that I did as a 5K. And seeing everybody there at the end really meant so much to me.
That's great.
We're all congratulating you. That's why, Laura, because we love you, you know?
Okay, so the next race is the 10K. Dave, what are your suggestions?
There's a couple things. 10K offers a little more flexibility. The start, obviously, and finish are both there, but you could really watch anywhere along the Epcot Resort area, so the Beach Club and Boardwalk hotels. Probably one of the best places would be the International Gateway, kind of take that bridge up toward the hotels, because the runners will pass that place 2 times.
Yeah, that's where you and I are cheering, Mike, right? That's a great place. Yeah, that's a great place.
And we saw Dave last year when we did the 10K. He was relaxing outside, I believe.
At the Princess 10K, I opted out of that race. So what I did is I made my pot of coffee, came out of the room, and sat there at the chairs outside the pizza window.
It was awesome. I wanted to sit down and talk with you, but we had a race to run.
I had a lot of fun doing that. So that's another good place where, you know, you can have a seating place to spectate this race, which is nice.
Laura?
Well, I've only actually run the 10K. Last year I did the inaugural mini, so I can't really have input on where to cheer, but I do say that one spot that you mentioned where you can see the runners entering into the Epcot Resort area and then coming back out is absolutely an awesome spot.
You know, Laura, you mentioned something, and I wanted to stray off a little bit and ask the both of you this question. Do you think I'm sure the answer is yes, but do you think that your ideas about cheering are best, they best come to you after you've experienced a race that you're going to cheer for later on?
Well, I'll never run a marathon. So when I look at where to cheer at, especially for the marathon, I look at the map and I find the most desolate spot. I know a lot of people like to cheer on Main Street and cheer everybody on and all of that. But as a runner who's done the half marathons there, when you enter a park, that's the adrenaline rush that you need to get through the park. So I always try to find the place where the fewest people will be, because I think that's where you're needed.
That's a good point. Plus, it'd be easy to spot. You know?
Now that's not, I don't want to, you know, that's not to dismiss all of those people that are cheering along Main Street or in the parks. I don't want, you know, it's a great experience both for the runner and for you to be there. You know, I just wanted to put that on the record.
And also for the 20-mile spectacular for the 20th anniversary of the marathon, you were more spectacular than the 20-mile spectacular, so we appreciated having you there.
Well, thank you very much. I actually heard that from a lot of people.
All right, so let's move on to the half marathon. Dave, what are your suggestions?
Really, for the half, you have several choices. If you want to do kind of the base plan, it would be get to the Magic Kingdom, see your runners go through there at about, what is that, mile 5.5, 5.6 when they hit Main Street, and then head on over to Epcot and catch the finish. If you're lucky enough and if your runner's pace allows it, you can see them twice at mile 12 and then the finish line.
So you're going to go to Main Street very early, and then when they pass by, you're going to go hop on the monorail to go back to the Ticket and Transportation Center, and then hop on the monorail to Epcot.
Exactly. And, you know, one of the things, and we have to point out, you know, like Mike said earlier, they could change the rules at any point. So based on past experience, you can't get in the Magic Kingdom till 5:30. Now, last year we got in at 5:15. So, you know, you got to plan accordingly. If you're coming from a monorail resort, you know, can you walk over from Contemporary, or do you have to take the, you know, monorail over from the Poly or the Grand Floor? Or if you're coming from another resort, you pretty much have to take the bus with your runner in the morning to get to Epcot to get on those monorails.
And where do you like to stand on Main Street?
Where I like to stand is right before the Tomorrowland Bridge.
Yes.
And one of the reasons for that is you get a good view of the runners coming around the hub. You get a good wide angle to take pictures, and I'm all about the photography side of this, so that's why I picked there. And then if you turn around, you can head toward the castle and get your runner coming out of the castle heading toward Adventureland.
That's right. And the only time I cheered for the half marathon, that's exactly where I stood, and I got a big kick out of it because a lot of runners actually stopped and asked me to take their picture with the castle backdrop before they went into Tomorrowland. So that was really kind of fun too. You really felt like you were a part of it.
Yeah.
Laura? Go ahead. Sure.
What I would recommend is for Main Street, either the half or the full day, do not stand with your back against the stores like the Emporium or Casey's. It's a very narrow field that the runners have to go through. Yeah. And, you know, the way you'd have to crane out, it would be very hard for your runner to see you there. So that's why I don't recommend that part of Main Street. If you were to do it on Main Street, right at the corner of the Emporium, so you could see them coming through from backstage, is about the best part then.
I agree. So you have a little time when they're running towards you, when you can kind of make sure that they're there. Laura, what do you think?
Well, I am... my favorite spot to cheer, and again, I'm a stationary cheerer, so I pick one spot, and that's my spot. And for the last several years, when I haven't been running the half, I actually go outside of the Polynesian. I know a lot of people like to hit the Grand Floridian, but I like to be the farthest I can possibly be before they hit those long roads again. And to sort of reiterate what Dave said, what's nice about cheering for the half is that it's so easy to be with your runner and drop them off at the start line and spend some time with them, and then go to the Epcot and take the monorail and do the switch at the Ticket and Transportation Center, and then head off in the Poly. And I've always had time to get breakfast at Captain Hook's.
before. Well, that's good.
Which is important. You have to fuel too. You know, once the runners go, I don't generally like to eat because I think it's kind of rude to be chomping on a sandwich while they're, you know, giving it their all on the run. You know, so it's easy that you can get to Epcot either by taking the resort buses, or if you're off site, you need to really plan on getting there early in park. And then taking the monorail over either to the Grand Floridian, or I know a lot of people like to cheer outside of the Contemporary, another great place to go, especially after they've just dealt with that big hill on the underpass.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are my favorite spots, but I really like it for the half because, again, you get to, you know, kiss your runner good luck before they run and still make it to your cheer spot.
I've never been kissed by you, Lara. Okay. Now I know what I'm missing.
ETC is also very popular, too.
Yeah, I wanted to add that in 2013, I was on the shelf, and so I was introduced to the art of cheering. And one of the areas that I've been at the last several years for the marathon and that year for the half has been when you get into the TTC area and you take a left, and then you're heading down that long stretch just before you go underneath the monorail. And a lot of runners a lot of my friends have begun to realize that I'm going to be there on the left side, and I really get that's my first shot at seeing everyone when I leave the starting area. And then when I leave from there, I make a beeline to the Grand Floridian, and I can usually see people at the Grand Floridian right near the wedding pavilion is where I try to go, and I try to stand away from everyone. So those are the two areas before the finish line for the half that I go to.
Before we move on to the full, I just want to because this is really the place to talk about it. The year that I cheered on Main Street, and I thoroughly enjoyed myself cheering, it was the day before my first half marathon. So I thought, my first marathon, this will be a nice way to give my legs a rest. And it ended up, that's what actually convinced me that I could run, one of the things that convinced me that I could tackle the Goofy, because it ended up being really hard on my legs to stand there for 4 hours and cheer. And then run a marathon the next day. So I recommend if you are tackling the marathon the next day that maybe cheering for the half is something that you want to skip unless you, you know, I don't know. What do you guys think about it? It can be tricky on your legs and on your voice too, don't you think?
Well, I don't scream or anything, so.
but your legs.
Legs, yeah. But it is, once again, the half, so it's not as long as, you know, doing it for a full.
Right, right.
And, you know, you can, if you want to opt into the cheer squad, you know, they have seating for their packages. So that could be another option.
That's true. It's a kind of, it's, you know, I've run the half and then the next day I've cheered the full, and it actually helps you recover by walking around. And this year I'm looking forward to seeing what my Fitbit says when I walk around on the
it'd be interesting to compare it.
Yeah.
You know, I did my, I had my, I guess, I don't know if it was my fit, I guess I had my Garmin on, and I discovered that I burn as many calories cheering for the full as I did running the half.
Wow. That's amazing.
But I cheer.
Yeah.
But you know, Laura, you're out there a longer amount of time, too, so it kind of makes sense that you would approach, you know, the same level, because you're out there before the race, and then you're out there until that you're out there from wheelchair to sweep. So,
well, and Laura, you had like that mile walk from your car to your spot too. So
yeah,
add that
well,
in there.
Last year when I really went all out for the spectacular, I had a wagon that probably weighed about 100 pounds with all the stakes, because I had about 50 signs spread out in this whole big area along Osceola, and that was intense pulling that through the Bermuda grass for a mile.
Okay.
Are we ready to talk about the full?
Granddaddy of them all. Let's start with Dave on the full. Give us your tips.
Yeah, really the full follows the half up through the Magic Kingdom portion. I think the full course differs from the half at about mile 8 or so. Correct me if I'm wrong. So
sounds right to me.
In the morning, I do the same thing. I go right to my Tomorrowland Bridge spot from Epcot. Wait, watch the race from there. Once my runners come through, I'll then turn around, snap their pictures at the castle. And I'll leisurely on marathon day make my way out, because I tend not to try to, you know, make the mag dash over to Animal Kingdom or anywhere else. I just go straight to Epcot. It's my favorite park. You know, it's fun to be there in the morning, watch the racers go by. So I'll make my way over after the balloon ladies come through the Magic Kingdom. It'll take a little while because the TTC for the monorails on both half and full day are pretty busy. You will see roped off lines you traditionally do not see. So it could take up to an hour just to get over to Epcot. But once I'm there, it's normally, you know, go to Starbucks, get a snack, and pick my place in World Showcase. The two places I've spectated have been the UK Pavilion when the runners first enter the World Showcase. And what you can do from there is once they enter and pass by, you can then make your way backtrack toward Canada and get to the main promenade there and see them come back again as they make their way to Future World. So that's one option. The other option I did last year was I just really wanted a different picture location, so I chose Germany. It had a quick access to beverages and you know, a nice view of the World Showcase and Spaceship Earth for a photo.
Lara?
Well, there's two spots that I recommend. Of course, there's my mile 20.5 spectacular area that I can't really recommend that to the average cheerer, because there's a lot involved in getting there and before the roads close. And as Mike previously mentioned, it is a long hike out there. But if you're just going and you want a spot that's kind of farther along, that's in sort of easy in and out, around mile 16 there's a McDonald's there as they're coming out of Animal Kingdom. So if somebody's, you know, wanting just to see them at that part of the course, that's not a bad place to go and cheer.
That's an overpass, I know, because I've run that many times. You're kind of running up, and there are a lot of people cheering there, and then you run down the other side of the overpass.
Right, and I recommend, a lot of times, you know, you can, if you buy something from the McDonald's, they'll let you park. And if you have your back towards McDonald's, if you wanted to go up on the top of the off ramp, you would head to the left. Now, I've heard that there was a lot of discussion as to whether or not they were going to let people walk on the off ramp. What I did is I went to the right, to the bottom of the hill, from the McDonald's. Again, McDonald's on your back. And if you go to the right, you're going to be at the bottom of the hill. And I like that area because then again, if your runners are looking for you, they can see you from the vantage point of them heading all the way down the hill. And that's also a great spot by the McDonald's because there's a bathroom, which is important if you're going to be out there for 8 hours.
Yes. Runners have them. Why not cheerers?
That's right. And then again, if you're coordinated with your runner. And I also would like to say that a lot of people sign up for the running tracker that they have, where you can get text messages sent. I do want to say that isn't always accurate.
No.
There's a big delay in that. So again, as far as prep goes the night before, find out what your runner's pace is, you know, their expected pace. Find out what corral there is and add maybe 3 or 4 minutes per corral so that you actually have an idea of the time that they'll be there, because you can't necessarily, again, rely on that tracking.
You know, it's a perfect segue to my next question. That was one of them about runner tracking. So you're going to go on Run Disney and sign up for that. Dave, it's my recollection that you use for the iOS, you use Find Friends?
That's correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm tracking Holly through that. And that pretty much is reliable, I'd say, within a quarter of a mile or so. As long as you have the good cell service, it works out well. The other thing that I have Holly do for the key things, like Magic Kingdom, she will text me when she gets to the Contemporary. Or normally at any other race, you know, I say, give me the mile 25 heads up. So that way, you know, I can plan. I know that I have probably anywhere from 10 to 15 minutes to get to where I need to be and get all situated. But yeah, I agree with Find Friends, and I do agree that the Run Disney tracking is not always trustful.
So I know Mike has a few more questions. I have another question for Lara. Now, I know there are certain places that run Disney sort of, well, you might see more cheerers than other places. Main Street USA is one of them. You know, along the boardwalk is another. We're going to talk about Cheer Squad in a second. Where you are, Lara, there are not a lot of people. Have you ever gotten into any trouble or had any difficulties with the spot where you are?
There was a conversation that occurred last year, but thankfully I am a really good talker, and the lovely Run Disney bike patrol people allowed me to stay, but it was about a 15 or 20 minute long conversation. But you know, but again, like I said, I sort of went overboard in that, and like I said, I had way too many signs out than I had in previous years, and they were concerned about the whole litter aspect of it. And,
gotcha.
And I assured them that, you know, everything is fine.
Got it.
And we did leave it just as clean as we got it.
Mike?
I have a question for Dave. I need your opinion on this, Dave, before we get into the last bit of questions. For the marathon, I want your opinion on how realistic this would be. So usually for the marathon, I'll cheer, I mentioned, at the turning point of the TTC, and then I opt for that instead of Main Street USA, and then I go over to the Wedding Pavilion. And then usually I'll go from there to all the way to the studios, taking the bus, taking Disney transportation. Usually the bus. I don't trust that the monorail will help me in this. So I take the bus all the way to the studios, and then I plant myself just before the path to boardwalk, and that's right around mile 22, I think, or 23. Mm-hmm. And so I've been thinking about adding one more spot prior to that. Usually when I see people go by, and then I can usually take the bus to Epcot, and I'm there for the finish. But I wanted your opinion, Dave. Do you think it would be possible to go from the Wedding Pavilion to the Animal Kingdom in time to see the runners there, and then go from the Animal Kingdom to the studios and plant myself at the boardwalk path, and then make my way to the finish line after that? Do you think that's stretching it a bit?
So to get from the Grand Floridian to Animal Kingdom, you could take the resort bus. Is that
correct?
That's
what I would do, yes.
Yeah, so you got to figure by the time you leave your cheering spot, you have a 20-minute window, which would add probably another mile and a quarter for your run, you know, depending on their pace. But let's be safe and say it's a mile and a half for 20 minutes. It would take you 15-plus minutes to get to the Animal Kingdom. So now they're at mile 10-ish. Yeah, I think you could do that. I think you could get there.
Yeah, because the Animal Kingdom, Michelle, you would know better. At what mile is the Animal Kingdom?
Oh, boy.
18, maybe?
Yeah, it's about 8, 17 or 18. Yeah. Because where Lara is right when you come out of ESPN, and that's mile 20.5.
So from the Wedding Pavilion to the entry to the Animal Kingdom, that's probably at least an hour to an hour and 15 minutes for most runners.
Oh, yeah, for me it's about 10 minutes.
All right. I
don't mean to interject, but I think Animal Kingdom is probably mile 14.
14?
Oh,
okay. Because the McDonald's is mile 16.
You're right.
They change the course.
You're right. And yeah, you have to get all the way from Animal Kingdom to ESPN to all through ESPN and out to where you are. So that's
looks like
miles.
I might try something this coming weekend.
So I would say Animal Kingdom to the studios shouldn't be a problem then at that point, because it's another 10-mile difference or so.
Sounds good.
So we would be remiss if we didn't remind everybody that there are other options for cheering that you can pay for. Of course, it's Run Disney. So you can go to the Run Disney website and sign up for the Cheer Squad, where there are lots of different packages that you can buy. There's a complimentary package. It's called the Bronze Package. There's a Silver Package, where there's preferred areas where you can stand. I know one of them is at the finish line, and one of them, I'm not sure the different packages where you can stand, but one of them is you can see your runner come right out of the castle at the Magic Kingdom. There's an area there. Those go from, as I said, bronze is complimentary, silver's $39, gold, it depends on which races you're going to cheer for, goes from 65 to 85, and then platinum goes from 120 to 180. And cheerers can also go to race retreat, and that runs from 120 for the half marathon to 225 for the goofy or the dopey. So have either one of you done that? Doesn't sound like you need to.
No.
I actually don't really know anybody who's done that, but
I would say if you're traveling with a family member who may have maybe not want to put, you know, through the rigmarole of going from place to place, and they want a nice place to stay, or, you know, have some other people to maybe pal around with, it might be a good option.
Mm-hmm. So, Dave, before we, I'm going to ask you guys to each give us your top three tips of what you would tell a cheerer. But before we do that, I'd like you, I know you've talked about it on the show before, but to talk about your book, your ebook.
Sure. Last year, I wrote an ebook about spectating races. There is a section on Disney races in there, but it's overall just spectating distant races, how to read a course map, how to help prepare. You know, for a lot of people, a distance race turns out to be a destination race. So how do you prepare to travel, pack, what you need to do, what you need to do to support your runner, kind of tips on photography, tracking. So, you know, I think I did an okay job on it. And it's still available out there at racechasebook.com or at our blog, teamtizzle, TIZZEL.com.
Great. And how much is it, Dave?
It's $6.99.
So as we would say around here, it's a bargain.
Yes.
That's great.
And I have to say, I got it, and there is a lot of good information on there. There really is. As he said, he does have a big section just on Walt Disney World. So if you're interested in getting some tips on chasing your runner, it's worth the $7 to buy it.
Nice. So we'll put the link for those in our show notes too. And I also want to say that our buddy Melanie Camphouse, who helps us with all sorts of different things, when we were on Team All Ears, she had a great cheering packet that she put together, and she's making it available to people on the Mickey Milers or people who look on the Mickey Miles Facebook page. So we're going to make that available too. It's kind of a condensed version.
Yeah, it's a great guide.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, so top three tips. Laura, what if you met somebody at Walt Disney World and you wanted to give them three important tips about cheering, what would they be?
Well, one came to me right away, and that is to cheer for everyone. I can't say enough about that. There's, you know, run, perfect stranger, run. you know, I mean, it means a lot. And especially if you're on a team like Mickey Milers, and there's a whole bunch of runners, and they hear you scream madly when you see, you know, one of your teammates, and they're 100 yards behind you, and they come up, and then you're not cheering. Cheer for everyone.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's my number one tip. Number two, be realistic if you're going to chase. I think they've covered it pretty good, especially with Mike's question of whether he can get from here to here and just how many times you can see your runner. You don't want to be stressed out on that. So be realistic in your expectations as a cheerer and getting from one location to the other. And then my last tip is sunscreen.
Oh, good one. Good one.
Because you're standing there often in full sun, you know, in the same position, and sunscreen.
That's great. Okay, Dave?
Yeah, probably number one tip is, you know, especially for the frequent Disney guest, race day is not like a normal day. So transportation will be difficult. You know, the monorail at the TTC will have lines you likely have never seen before.
That's right.
Plan your day accordingly. If you do take the bus to Epcot with your runner and you do want to go to the Magic Kingdom, I say get out of there by 4:30.
Oh, great.
So that's, you know, should get you to the Magic Kingdom to give you enough time to pick out the spot that you want to watch the race from.
Okay, next tip.
Want one from me or from Laura?
Oh, no, I think, Laura, did you already give three? Yeah, she gave three.
I gave.
Okay.
I gave.
Okay, so then my next tip would be basically how to pack for yourself. So some of the things that I have on my list that I take with me, you know, obviously my smartphone and a charger or extra battery. I have one of those external battery packs that you plug right in. Cameras, you know, I go out there with three of them. That's up to the individual. I normally pack myself food because I don't know when I'll get it on the course. Bagel, bananas, scones, anything like that, really easy to carry with you. Fruit also carries pretty well. Candy, sugar candy is good. Water, soda, sunscreen, like Laura said. And if you want, you know, the cheering supplies, signs, noisemakers, and always have a course map.
Like it. Good. All right.
And I guess finally, you know, it's a coordination with your runner. Make sure you know what their pace is, as Laura said earlier. Anticipate where they're going to be. If they can text you when they're 10 minutes out from where you said you would be, you know, have them do that. It's Disney World. We're all kind of familiar with it. So they pretty much know when they get to the Contemporary, they know how far it is to the castle. So that might be a good time to text. Also, if you know that your spectator is going to be at the finish line and you're the runner, maybe text them at mile 12 when you right enter into Epcot and say, hey, guess what? I'm here. And that's for the half day. Full day is about the same thing, yeah. So when you get into the UK pavilion, you could also send that text.
So two things I've noticed during this podcast. Number one, I thought I knew all I could know about cheering, and I've learned more. And secondly, it's amazing how much technology helps this particular exercise of following and cheering for your runner. So thank you, Laura. Thank you, Dave, for providing. I know you provided me with some information that I'll definitely be using this coming weekend.
Laura, do you have anything you want to add?
No, I'm good. Oh, well, okay. Yeah, actually, I do. I have a little surprise. I will be down this year to cheer.
Yay! Oh, wow.
Exclusive. We have an exclusive.
Yeah.
It is an exclusive. That's right. And nobody knows. And they won't know until they hear this podcast.
I knew, Laura.
Well, that's because I wanted to. Anyway.
But you threatened me if I told anybody. I didn't even tell Mike.
So I will be outside of the Poly at my usual spot. And then, again, if I'm a fast talker and the Run Disney bicyclist people allow me, I will once again be at the mile 20.5 Spectacular.
That's great. So everybody get your picture taken with Laura. Stop and get your picture taken.
You can't miss my thingamajig. or my voice.
So for Laura Smith-Ozzo and for Dave Allen, for Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopra saying we'll see you at the cheering spot.
The Mickey Miles podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at mei-travel.com or mousefantravel.com, and by All Star Vacation Homes, with locations in Kissimmee and Orlando. All Star Vacation Homes offers you alternatives for your Disney vacation with beautiful and affordable homes, condos, and townhomes near Walt Disney World. Hospitality has a new home, and its name is All Star Vacation Homes. Visit them at allstarvacationhomes.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gray saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.